September 11, 2009, the Norris Group returns with its award-winning event, I Survived Real Estate 2009. For this critical final quarter, the Norris Group has assembled a gold panel of accomplished industry specialists to discuss the impact of seismic economic shifts, head-scratching regulations, challenging legislation, and the accelerated pace of opportunities emerging for real estate professionals. 100% of the proceeds for this unique event support the Orange County affiliate of Susan G. Komen for The Cure. This event would not be possible without the generous help of the following platinum partners: the San Diego Creative Real Estate Investors Association and President Bill Tan, Investors Workshop and President Sean Watkins and Angel Bronskiest, Invest Club for Women and Director Iris Veneration, Fry Wiles, the creative agency responsible for iSurvive2009.com, J.K. Short Sales and Kathy Van Sleen, Entrust California and Hugh Bromaw, the Nixon Library, MVT Productions, who always provide the audio-visual needs, the Business Press, airing the event live over the Internet, and White House Catering, who will provide the three-course meal for this black tie event. Visit iSurvive2009.com for more details.
Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, this is Bruce Norris. Thank you for joining us. Today our guest is Tommy Williams. He's a graduate of Penn State University and the Certified Auctioneers Institute. He's a founding partner of Williams & Williams Auction Company. He served as president between 1986 and 2000 and became board chairman in 2001. He has conducted over 10,000 auctions in all 48 contiguous states and all over the world. Tommy, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Bruce. It's always a joy to visit with you.
I was reading on your website this morning, and it said Worldwide Auction Company. So I assume that that you've conducted auctions, at least assisted, in other countries as well?
Yes. You know, that is something that over the years we've had the opportunity to do, on, like Puerto Rico, Canada in particular. We are involved, have a very close involvement with a very successful auction company in South Africa that then has a European presence. We haven't actually conducted auctions with them, but it's a very close alliance. These are very bright people, and I think at some point in time we will do some things together.
Well, that's pretty interesting. I would imagine bank-owned properties might be pretty prevalent in other countries as well, so I would imagine their auction business might have perked up.
I think if people would study the statistics, they'll find that really what has gone on in the United States has been mirrored pretty much all over the world. I mentioned South Africa. That happens to be because Trudy and I visited there several times. I know this company well and have been involved with it. And it's amazing that, you know, a country that far removed from the United States has really gone through almost exactly the same economic up and down swing in real estate that we have here in the United States. So it shows you that the entire world really is mirroring the same, what I call, bust of the bubble, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it, in real estate.
Yeah, I think the financing leaked out of here and spread everywhere. How's the United States auction business faring in the middle of this real estate downturn, and just in general? Is it doing extremely well?
The number of auctions have increased somewhat. I think when we've talked in the past, I've told you that real estate auctions have been growing in popularity on a very steady, straight-line growth for really many, many years. I mean, we started tracking that at the National Auctioneers Association about 8 years ago, and the growth has been very steady and, as I said, very straight-line, really through good times, bad times. So the number of auctions and the popularity of auctions, that stays very stable. Then what I call the increase in it. Now, what changes, of course, is what do they bring? And that has nothing more than, that's just a reflection of the marketplace. So, yes, auction companies are selling more property. Having said that, obviously, as you would expect, the properties are bringing less.
Well, and that's a reflection of the market price, not necessarily an auction doing less of a good job.
That's exactly right. The market is the market.
I read a recent report from 2003 to 2008 the business for residential real estate went from $11.5 billion to $17 billion. And it occurred to me, okay, the volume has gone steadily up, but since prices have gone down so far, I would imagine you must be marketing a lot more units to get to that volume.
Absolutely. I mean, all companies would say exactly the same thing. No question that, yes, the number of sales, I would say any viable real estate auction company that's really, truly focused on real estate would tell you that their sales are probably on the increase, the number. But as you've already pointed out, the actual price is the same as in any other form of merchandising. It just reflects the market, and homes are in many areas of the United States are all 50%. I mean, that's a true statement. I think in your state, you could probably give some very very good analytics to what I just said. There's plenty of properties that have sold for 50% of what they would have at the high time.
There's plenty even that have sold for 25%, to be honest with you.
And that's I always like to be very conservative when I talk.
We actually bought two of them for 15% of what the lender was owed. I'm sure that didn't feel very good to him, but that's in fact what happened.
That's and you find that is not an aberration. It is not unusual. When you do this on a monthly basis like we do, handling something in the neighborhood of 1,000 REO homes per month, we'd be able to pick out a significant percentage that would be trading in the 20-25% of their original list price. But in that case, usually it was a very bad loan. By that I mean it didn't even approach reality even at the beginning. Oftentimes fraud was involved. Nice. Most lenders will tell you that they knew in the outset that there's a certain amount of fraud that takes place in the mortgage business, and obviously when you get into situations like we have now, then that fraud comes to the surface very quickly, and so a property that maybe was never worth but $10,000 to begin with, somebody might have been through innovative financing, gotten a mortgage of $100,000.
You know, honestly, what's going on in California is just a reversion to probably a subnormal price, but it was very common in, let's say, the lower end area of Moreno Valley to have a $300,000 loan on the entire neighborhood. I mean, that was the number. So that was really the crazy number we got to. And now that price is now retail, maybe 100. So it's really down by 2/3, and both were legitimate numbers for that marketplace, if you will. It's just that's how different the mindset was of the buyer in 2005. They were willing to sign up for anything, and of course we had a lending industry that was in a mindset to loan them anything that they wanted.
Well, I think as I said, you could pick many states, many areas that story would apply. You don't have what I call the exception to the rule. You have a very severe case, and public's perception on anything that we can talk about, housing, whether we talk about the price of gasoline, whatever the public perceives is the, right now the hot button that everybody wants to talk about is health care. And, yes, health care needs probably some sort of a remodel, but it gets into what I call little specifics, and all of a sudden the public believes that specific. And I think what you just alluded to is the perfect example. That everybody in that valley for a period of time thought 300,000 was the right number. Now they think it's 100,000 is the right number, and unfortunately, they were probably not right on either side of the fence.
That's right.
Yeah,
but
it's a perception.
That is correct.
And once a perception is there, what can you do about it?
It's going to take time to reevaluate itself, that's for sure. Tommy, right now you had mentioned a lot of REO inventory. Has the auction business shifted to predominantly that multi-property owner being your customer as far as providing inventory rather than the one-person owner?
Well, I would hope not. In fact, I would certainly recommend to any auction company that if they are doing that, they are headed in the wrong direction. Because if you really want to build a successful auction company that is viable over the long term, you still need to deal specifically with the what I call the normal end user buyer and the normal end user, as I would call it, seller. Maybe it is an investor with 8 or 9 properties, and they want to, for whatever the reason, sell all 8 or 9. But really, the focus of the auction company should always be dealing with what we would call the private owner, private investor. When you get over here on the government side, the REO side, there are very few companies, number one, that are really playing in that area. Very few, Bruce.
Okay.
You can count them almost in one hand. And that is not a long-range way to build a business. In fact, it would be very short-range.
There was a report that just came out. Deutsche Bank basically said that by either 2010 or 2011, that 50% of the owners in the country, in the U.S., will be upside down. So from what you just said, that would have a pretty profound effect on the amount of inventory that would even be able to sign up for a one-house auction, would not?
Well, unless we finally get some reality over on the lending side. And when I say get reality on the lending side, the most important thing about a house that's upside down, and the other piece of that, and the seller, for whatever the reason, absolutely needs to sell it. Either they can't afford it and will not be able to maintain it and then make the payments, period. They just can't do it. Or maybe there's been a change in lifestyle. They've had a job transfer. They've had some other change in their life, a divorce, an illness, many things that cause what I call serious life changes that turn a house that you are now currently living in into what's going to be a liability if you continue to own it. And the lenders and the entire lending facility is going to have to learn to grapple with the need to sell the property at the time it becomes a liability to that current person living in it, and sell it for market value, and then deal with the shortfall in some other fashion. If we continue to go on with this process of what I call a year or 2 year foreclosure process while the property deteriorates and the neighborhood deteriorates, then you exacerbate the problem. A property that would have brought $150,000 sold at the right time when it was really well cared for, it ends up bringing $100,000. And so now the losses have been magnified by nothing more than just people not being diligent and moving it from the seller that needed to sell it to the buyer that needed to buy it.
There was a Campbell report that just came out. There were thousands of agents that responded to a questionnaire. And outside of the appraisal problem, the biggest problem was a lender's slow response to a short sale offer. It takes months, and I'm sure what you were alluding to is the auction business could help that lender decide what the number really is.
Absolutely, and that would be, if you ask me, the biggest problem, that is it. We can identify with absolute certainty almost what the marketplace thinks this house is worth today. You know, if 50 people come to that property and several of those people bid and the high bid is $100,000, guess what? We've arrived at market value. And the fact that the lender loaned $200 on it or whatever the arbitrary number is that the lender is involved with, it has no relevance to its value today, zero. And so why in the world the lenders won't deal with that? It's still, that's one of the most mind-numbing situations, but it's the way it is.
You know, you really bring up a valid point, and it's very frustrating when you're looking at a situation that you see the course that lenders have taken, and you shake your head and go, you couldn't possibly have taken a longer route to the truth, and in the meantime, taken a huge hit that wasn't necessary.
Absolutely. Okay. You know, we had a problem in there's no question. We had overpriced overpriced residential property. Now, that was a fact. But the way we've dealt with it, if you said we wanted to go out and do it the very worst we possibly could, I swear we have.
I agree. I've watched lenders start out with, they had a $300,000 loan on it, and they'd come out, and you could just see the mentality taking place. Okay, we listed it for, you know, $299,000, then $279,000, and then ultimately, and this is no joke, there's times that we've bought that same house for $55,000.
Well, let me give you a very good example, and because it's so pertinent, it's right here by me. Had a neighbor, and exactly the things that I was alluding to early, went through a divorce, went through a variety of changes in his life, and this happens to be a very nice neighborhood. He bought the property for about $650,000, and he's literally my neighbor. And as things, this has started down the path over 3 years ago, he course, came to the realization that through the divorce and a variety of other things, he was already delinquent in his payments. He was going to have to sell the house. And I went up to him and I said, in the sense I'm in the auction business, I said, you know, I think the house will bring from about $450,000 to $500,000 at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what I think it would have brought. And he says, well, Tommy, I think you're probably right. Lord, I'd like to have you sell it. But he says, I've already talked to the lender, and they will not. I owe $625,000, and they won't negotiate at all. So they're going on with the foreclosure process. Well, as the years rolled along, from time to time we would talk, and I'd say, well, have you ever shown any signs of really trying to work this out with you? Well, no. Well, finally, of course, he's like most people in that circumstance. He just walked away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Up until then, they were taking very good care of it. The yard was neat. Everything was perfect. But, of course, you know what happened. The minute he walked away from it, it took on instantly the look of a, as I call it, a home that's no longer loved. It just sold and closed. Now, remember, this has been about a 3-year journey. And most importantly, remember this. Tulsa, Oklahoma, if you study our national real estate figures, is one of the most stable real estate markets in the United States. We've had very little fluctuation. But that home that he bought for $600,000+ the other day, it closed for like $370,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I really could have sold it back at the beginning for probably close to $500,000.
And you multiply that times about a million houses, that gets kind of expensive.
It's a big number, right?
It sure is.
And I talk to people, everybody that will listen to me, I tell this story over and over, and I have been to Washington, D.C. I've told it to my congressman. I've told it to my senator. I try to get people that will, I say, my gracious folks, why don't we address this and solve it on the front end? Bruce, I don't know the answer. I can't get them to listen.
Well, you know, I guess that's one of the reasons why the September 11th meeting is important to me, is because we're putting people like you in the room together with other industry leaders. And I'll tell you, doing this radio show has been quite educational in that every industry affects other industries. For instance, the appraisal industry right now. Are you having sometimes difficulty getting the sales closed when you have a winning bidder unable to get the property appraised for the final bid? I'm just curious about that.
Luckily, now I'm saying this is making a generalized statement. Luckily for us, most all appraisers have agreed that whatever the auction price would have been when the fall of the hammer, they said, you know, we're not going to argue with that. That is the value. It's proven by the marketplace, so there's no need of us to try to take exception. So very rarely have we had that problem, but I will say this, and I couldn't tell you the name of the lender. I mean, I'm not going to, but I can't remember it anyway. One of my colleagues sold a home, and that particular lender said they would not make a mortgage. They would not lend money on a home bought at an auction. And the National Auctioneers Association, we immediately got in touch with that lender. We've been very proactive in saying, what in the world would be the philosophy behind that?
Exactly.
And they just made a blanket statement that if a home went through an auction, then they wouldn't loan money on it. You would think they would go the other way around, really.
That is a rather amazing statement. I mean, I'm dumbfounded.
And it's not some real little rinky-dink mortgage company. I couldn't tell you the name anyway. But it's a company that's very viable, does plenty of business, and you just cannot imagine. And, you know, at NAA, we've been working on this for at least 4 months without resolution. We get, you know, a lot of, you know, conversation, oh, well, we don't know, but we have not been able to get them to change their stance, and really haven't been able to get any logic as to why that's what they're doing.
The word auction definitely has a meaning to it that's locked into the psyche, and it's different in different countries. In the United States, it really does mean, okay, you have a desperate seller. And it's very odd. We had a boom market in 04 to 06 that was ridiculous in California. We had multiple offers on every house we ever put up for sale. Had we thought to auction those homes and put those multiple offer people eyeball to eyeball, is there any doubt that that price would have been higher for us?
No doubt. In fact, I use that very analogy time and time again. I say when the market is really overheated, We've learned that in any commodity that you could sell at auction, that's when you want to have an auction for sure. And then under desperate times like we're in right now, the reason you have an auction is because it is the only alternative now. The only way you can bring the buyers to the marketplace now is with an auction. Otherwise, they won't even show up.
You know, one of the groups that'll be there in September 11th will be the builders.
Yes.
And it would be the perfect marriage would be a builder building a tract of homes in a boom time in an auction company.
In fact, I have had that opportunity on two different occasions that we actually opened up very nice, brand new developments. And the way we opened up those developments, we sold like three or four homes, the very first three or four at auction. And at the time, people thought everybody was crazy, but of course they were amazingly successful. And you're exactly right. It's something I haven't pursued. It's just, you know, you get sidetracked on different things. But if I was in the building business, I can promise you I would open my new lot. That's how I would launch it. I would have an auction, sell my first two spec homes, and let that become a marketing factor.
You know, we do plan to become builders in the future because we're going to be able to get deals on building lots, and I'm going to make sure I keep that in mind. So you'll get a call.
That'll be great, Bruce, because it really will work.
Oh,
it really will.
Yeah, there's not any doubt in my mind when I participated in that market. It just never occurred to me because it was, and I think that's part of it is that it is so easy to sell in a boom market. So you just put in the MLS and it sells. It's not that much harder to have an auction and wait for a little bit longer and end up with a better result. But it's not what we're trained to do. And I guess that's what's not in place is the auction has not captured us, our mind, in anything other than a market that's tough to sell in.
You know, though, Bruce, you mentioned that it's the auction is viewed differently in different countries.
Yes.
And certainly you're absolutely right. Like, we'll pick the complete flip of the analogy you're giving right now would be New Zealand. Auctions there are extremely popular. I'm talking for real estate in Australia. That's really one of the very first ways you think about selling a home. But one of the things that, because I've spent my life in it and so I've traveled all over the United States, it is almost as diverse. In other words, if you're in Tennessee, the way they view an auction in Tennessee versus the way they view an auction in California would be as radical as the general statement about the United States and New Zealand. We have states, particularly Ohio, the Midwest, Indiana, Illinois, Missouri. Those are what I always have termed auction-friendly states. For years and years have been auctions conducted there, and the people do not look at an auction in a negative fashion. On the other hand, you go to California, you go to the West Coast, particularly you go to the far Northeast, like, New England, Massachusetts, and Connecticut. For some reason, those areas are not really what I call very auction-friendly.
They probably have only seen that in a desperation situation, and then they don't want that tag, I guess, to the property.
That's right.
We're down to 45 seconds. I can't believe it. Just briefly, have you been successful in buying bulk properties, and what state have you been doing that in?
Well, the bulk, right at the moment, I'm talking for the last 6 months, we have found it extremely difficult to find the kind of packages that make good sense. Yes, they put the packages together, but a good business person still would not be willing to tackle it. So it's not we're very aggressive and very much wanting to do it, and we think on the horizon here in the very near term, I think we have several partners out. I think we will come up with some large packages. But Bruce, since I talked with you last, we really haven't been able to buy a package.
That makes sense. I haven't seen anything that's worth buying either. Tommy, we're out of time. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you September 11th.
See you in September. Look forward to it, Bruce.
Okay, Tommy.
Bye.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.
The Norris Group would like to thank its gold sponsors for supporting I Survived Real Estate 2009. 1M1 Properties, Dalme Properties, Elite Auctions, the Inland Empire Investors Forum, Las Brisas Escrow, Los Angeles Event Center, The Mortgage Equity Group, Mike Cantu, Northern California Real Estate Investors Association, North San Diego Real Estate Investors Association, Real Wealth Network, Realty 411 Magazine, San Jose Real Estate Investors Association, the REO Mentor, Tony Alvarez, Westin South Coast Plaza, Women's Council of Realtors, Inland Valley Chapter. To find out more about I Survived Real Estate 2009 and how you can get involved, visit isurvived2009.com.